Well, yes and amen, that is true. And I am so glad that all of you are joining us for Easter with Purpose. Welcome to Purpose Church. And here at Purpose Church, we believe the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, which means a second chance is possible. My name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad that you are joining us. And I want to tell all of you that are joining us in person, in the balcony, on the community terrace, and everyone joining us online, I love you, and most importantly, God loves you. And we're so glad that you came here, whether you're from Pomona or you traveled from out of town. I just met somebody who drove all the way here from New Mexico to worship with us for Easter. She's a part of our Purpose Online family, and everyone watching around the world, we're so glad that you're here. And if you're a visitor or a guest, my goodness, we would love to connect with you and help you get more connected here. In your program, there's a web page. We also have a QR code that you can scan, or you can head out to the lobby at our Connect Center, and our staff and our friendly volunteers would love to answer any questions you have to help you get more connected here at Purpose Church. Isn't it true that everybody wants a second chance? In fact, every one of us have had times in our lives where we wished we had a second chance. I remember when I was in high school, I had a job of working at an art gallery. I was the host at an art gallery, and I would welcome people. And one time I was working at this art gallery, and a woman was working with me, and she had a daughter that was my age. And as this woman and I were talking and getting to know each other a little bit, she looked at me at the end of our shift, and she said, "You know, I have a daughter about your age. I'd love to introduce you to her." Anyone else ever had an awkward setup before? Well, for me, I didn't have a lot of experience with girls, and so I said, maybe this is just how it happens. Maybe moms set their daughters up with guys. Who knows? So I said, "I would love to meet her." And she said, "Okay, why don't I give you her email address, and you guys can start writing." So we started emailing each other, and we had several conversations back and forth, and we were getting to know each other, and we had so much in common, and we were emailing regularly throughout the week. It was incredible. And then she said, "Eric, I'd love to see a picture of you, and then I'll send you a picture of myself. Can you send me a picture of yourself?" And I said, "Oh my goodness, yes." And this was before social media. This was before we had smartphones. And so my mom and I, we spent the whole afternoon walking around the house trying to figure out which photo we were going to take off the wall, scan on the copier, upload to the computer, and email out to this girl. Well, I think we found the perfect photo. This was probably the photo that we used. This is me with a whole lot of hair. And so I sent her this photo, wrote a little bit, said, "I can't wait to see a photo of you." I clicked send, and then a couple hours went by. A couple days went by. A couple weeks went by, and she never wrote me an email. Did I look that bad? I mean, my goodness. High school version of me wanted a second chance. When was the last time you needed a second chance? Maybe you sent a text message or an email that you just wish you could take back. Maybe you had a big presentation at school or at work that didn't go as well as you wanted it to. Maybe you recently took your driver's test and you didn't pass. Maybe there's an area of your love life you wish you could have a second chance, or a second chance with your kids, or maybe today, deep in your soul, you recognize you need a second chance with God. That there's something missing in your life, and you realize it's a relationship with God. You see, Easter is proof that a second chance with God is not only possible, but absolutely available. And that story really began the first Easter Sunday morning with the truth that the tomb is empty. In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, in one of the historical accounts of the life of Jesus, it says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.'" Now, why was Mary Magdalene at the tomb that first Easter morning? Well, it's because Jesus gave Mary Magdalene a second chance. If you know anything about Mary Magdalene's life, she was a hot mess before she met Jesus. She was possessed by seven demons. Everyone in her life had canceled her, but not Jesus. But you see, Mary, she doesn't just realize that the tomb is empty, but that Jesus is alive. In verse 11, the story continues. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her one word, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Mary is in shock. I mean, she's crying, snot is running down her nose. She can barely see well enough. She really is not even totally aware of the fact that she's talking to two angels, and then she mistakes Jesus for the gardener until he says, "Mary." And when she hears her name, she instantly knows he is alive. Now, today, you may be confused about Jesus. You may believe that Jesus doesn't know anything about you or that God could care less about you. But I need to tell you today that Jesus knows your name. He knows your story. That he knows every single hair that's on your head. He knows every thought that's gone through your mind. And he knows that you and I need a second chance. Friends, the tomb isn't just empty. Jesus is alive. Maybe this is what inspired KB, the Christian hip-hop artist who wrote the song Armies, to in his song say these words, "Life ain't been the same since death died. Won it by a landslide." This is the power of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was not just an interesting man in history. Jesus is God. He lived a perfect life. The only one who should have never died, instead died in our place. When he died on the cross, he took your sin and my sin upon his shoulders. When he rose from the dead, he proved that everything he said and everything he did was true and that we could trust him with our lives. And when Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, he defeated sin. He defeated death. But that is not the end of the story. There is a second chance available. Now, these couple verses that we've read so far, they pose a very interesting historical question, which is this: was Jesus's tomb actually empty? And did Jesus actually rise from the dead? I mean, everything that we're celebrating today hinges upon those claims. Well, here's just a couple pieces of evidence that validate the tomb was empty 2,000 years ago and Jesus did rise from the dead. Consider this: the criterion of embarrassment. First century courts only considered testimonies from men as valid. However, all four Gospels describe a group of faithful women as the first to report Jesus's resurrection. In that culture, including the testimonies of these women, only makes sense if their story was historically reliable. Think about preaching in Jerusalem. Early Christians began preaching Jesus's resurrection in Jerusalem, the same city where he was buried just weeks prior, making it easy to disprove if he hadn't risen from the dead. How about the transformed disciples? Jesus' followers hid in fear during his flogging and crucifixion, but after his resurrection, they willingly died testifying that Jesus is alive. Or how about the conversion of skeptics? Prominent skeptics such as James, Jesus' brother, Thomas, Jesus' disciple, and Saul of Tarsus, also known as Paul, became convinced and believed in Jesus after encountering him resurrected. Friends, because the tomb is empty, because Jesus is alive, a second chance is possible for all of us. In the next chapter, the last chapter of John's gospel, In verse 3, it goes, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. This wasn't the first time that Peter saw Jesus alive, but you must remember, Peter is still struggling. I mean, Peter met Jesus 3 years ago. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Peter was fishing. He was continuing his father's business when Jesus met him and said, "I want to make you into a fisher of people. Will you follow me?" And Peter dropped everything and became one of Jesus' closest disciples. Peter even said things like, "If everybody else falls away on account of you, Jesus, I never will." But then when Jesus was arrested, when he was being crucified, 3 times Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Peter abandoned Jesus. And the Bible tells us this was so overwhelming for Peter. His sin was so grave that he wept bitterly. Yeah, I think Peter got to the point where he just figured there was no second chance available for him. That he messed up too bad, that he missed the opportunity of a life tune, that it's done for him. And so he just went back to fishing. But then in John 21, verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." See, 3 times Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And here, in the first time, he says, "Do you love me more than these?" He's referring to, do you love me more than these other disciples? I mean, you had said that you wouldn't fall away on account of me, which is why I think when Peter, after he had told Jesus, "I love you," he probably expected Jesus to say something like, "Then why did you deny me? If you really loved me, why were you not willing to die for me? I'm sorry, Peter, you don't make the cut. There's no more spot for you in my kingdom." And friends, maybe that's how others have responded to your biggest failures. Maybe you've lost family. Maybe you've lost friends. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've lost hope. But then Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs." What Jesus was saying is, there's a second chance for you, Peter. I still have a purpose for you. You see, "feed my lambs" is first century code for "I still choose you." This is the beauty of Good Friday and the punctuation of Resurrection Sunday. What are we here doing? Why are we celebrating today? Is because Jesus has looked out at all of us and he has said to each one of us, "I still choose you." I mean, Peter, he heard Jesus in the next couple verses tell him the same words that he told him 3 years earlier in John 21, verse 19. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." And you may think you're too far gone. You may think there's no hope for you. You may think there's no way that you could ever get a second chance, but just like Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Follow me," Jesus is looking at each one of you and inviting you still to follow him. The resurrection of Jesus proves that his love for you is bigger than your biggest failure, and a second chance is possible for everyone everywhere. I mean, Peter's story is our story. All of us here, we need a second chance. We need perfect love. We need complete forgiveness. We need eternal life, and we need an ultimate purpose. You know, there was a season in my life where I wasn't walking away from God, I was sprinting away from God. Pride and sin and alcohol and marijuana were consuming my life, and I was pretending to be happy. I was pretending that everything was okay, but inside I felt dead. And oh, there had been so much in my past that I considered it impossible that a second chance would ever be offered to me. But then I got to go to a camp, and a message similar to this was shared with me. I gotta be honest, I went to that camp looking for a girlfriend, and I found God. And my life has never been the same since, because I realized and I learned that Jesus is the God of second chances. When you lied, when you hurt someone, when you disobeyed God, when you cheated, when you acted selfishly, the Bible is honest with us and says, we've sinned. And all of us need a second chance. I mean, sin is any thought, word, or action that goes against God's perfect design. And sin, it separates us from other people, and most importantly, it separates us from God. But on Easter Sunday morning, Jesus proved that he is the solution to our sin problem. And that no matter how big our sin problem is, a second chance is available to each of us. Now, I want to introduce you to a man here at our church who received a second chance from Jesus, and it changed his life. Let's watch this together.
My name is Brad Garbrick. I grew up in a dysfunctional home. My dad was an alcoholic. He would say, I'm gonna go get some cigarettes and not come home. My mom tracked him down in a motel with another woman and threw me into the room. And so I was exposed to sex early on, and that had an impact on me. When I was in high school, my girlfriend got pregnant, so we got married while I was in high school. And I remember just telling myself, God, I don't want to raise my kid up poor. Started out at a medical company as an assembler when I was 16, and by 31, I was the president of the company. But my wife felt overlooked. One thing led to another, and she ended up leaving my daughter and myself at the same time that I sold my medical company, where I had all my validation identity in. I sold that, my wife walks out on me, and so I was devastated. But I get involved in another company. I end up meeting my second wife, a godly Christian. I had made millions of dollars. We had a beautiful home in Laguna Niguel. Just a wonderful life. I was still empty. I was in Las Vegas visiting our facility out there. The people I was with were a couple of salespeople from the company, and they said, Brad, let's go to a strip club. That was a door that opened that it took me 18 years to shut. The damage that I did, the looks on my kids' faces, you know, they told me if I didn't get into rehab, they were going to cut off all communications with me. And I remember just collapsing on the floor of one of our warehouses and just saying, I give up. I just give up. Company ended up going in bankruptcy. Rock bottom, was living out of my car at Walmart. It was the last resort. I went to the Bible. Started reading the Bible and didn't understand a word of it. And I'm doing that. And I said, okay, well, I think I need to get baptized. That's the place to start. So I get baptized, and then I'm looking for a step study and a church. And that's when I find Purpose Church and Celebrant Recovery here. And I was going real strong. I was 2 years into this. I felt like I had a lot of spiritual momentum going. And then I was at my oldest granddaughter's college graduation up in San Luis Obispo. And while we were walking into the stadium, I had a cardiac arrest. And the EMT said, my heart stopped for 10 minutes. I woke up in the emergency room. I said, where am I? And the emergency doctor goes, I want you to tell me who all these people are here. I go, why? We want to see if your brain still works. Being filled with the spirit of joy and peace, you know, surpasses understanding, but it's the greatest feeling I've ever had. It beats my alcohol and drug use and sexual addiction, beats anything I've ever done, anything I've ever accomplished, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I used to echo self-reliance, now I echo surrender. And if God can do that for me, He can do that for you.
The truth is, a second chance is available to you, but it hinges on how will you respond to the resurrection of Jesus. And maybe the first response that some of us might be thinking about making to the resurrection of Jesus is, I don't believe I need Jesus because I'm a good person. Because I love you, I wanna just expose some errors in that for just a moment. If that's what you're banking on is being a good person and that determining why you don't need Jesus, then you're banking on your definition of what it means to be a good person being the right definition among the other 8 billion people who live right now and their definition of what it means to be a good person. You're also banking on your definition of what it means to be a good person matching with what God's definition is. Now, maybe that's really because you have some struggles with Jesus or God or the Bible. Maybe something's happened in your life that has left you emotionally scarred, or maybe you have some intellectual questions. Well, we're so glad that you're here and we wanna walk with you. And so I would love to invite you to come back next Sunday. We're beginning a 7-week series called Great Question, how the Bible addresses our biggest issues with God. And here at Purpose Church, we believe that great questions deserve great answers. And this church is a safe place to ask any question you have. Or maybe it might be a good fit for you to sign up for a group that we're starting called the Explore Group at the end of this month. Maybe you're curious about God, faith, or the Bible. Explore Group is for you. Maybe you're a new believer in Christ. Explore is for you. Maybe you're returning to faith. Explore is for you. Or maybe you're doubting or wrestling with big questions. Explore is for you. Or maybe your response to the resurrection of Jesus is, I don't believe Jesus could ever love someone like me. And to that person, I want to remind you of the most important verse in the whole Bible. It's the most popular verse in the whole Bible. It really sums up the whole Bible. John 3:16, for God so loved. God doesn't hate you. God isn't disinterested in you. God isn't disengaged from your life. He loves you, and He loves you so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because God loves you, a second chance is possible for you. And the third response is the one I would hope, and I've been praying that all of you would make today. And the third response is this: I do believe Jesus died and rose for me, and I need a second chance. If that's you, if you believe Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead and you need a second chance like I do, like all of us do, then today is your day. This is your moment. I wanna talk to those of you who have already received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe in a moment you will. If you've never been baptized, today's a great day to get baptized. At the end of all of our services, we're gonna have so many people getting baptized outside. And baptism is a symbol of when you go under the water, you're declaring that Jesus has died for your sins, that your sins have died with Christ. And when you come out of the water, you're declaring that you have new life in Christ, that you have been given a second chance because you have received Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're going, you know what? I didn't sign up to be baptized. I don't know if I'm prepared. I'm wearing something really good. We got you covered. We've got shorts. We've got shirts. We've got towels. We've got warm water. We've got a whole photograph team. We got everything you need to make that decision today, to get baptized, to go public with your faith. And so I wanna encourage you to do that today if you haven't already. But before you get baptized, you must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must open your heart and your life to Him, declaring that He's the boss of your life, that he's the Lord of the universe and that he is your Savior. Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, absorbing your sin and my sin, and offers us forgiveness and eternal life and love as a free gift, but we must receive it. You must receive it. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, remember the guy who was a skeptic until he realized Jesus actually rose from the dead. He said these words, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved and you can have a second chance. Jesus is alive and he wants you to follow him." I want to invite everyone to close their eyes right now. And with your eyes closed right now, I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Have you received him? Have you chosen to put your faith and trust in him? Do you recognize now that the second chance that you need is actually God's forgiveness and his love and purpose and eternal life? And that is only available through Jesus Christ. There is no other way that anyone can be saved apart from Jesus Christ. And today you have that opportunity. And so if you're here in this place right now, or you're joining us online, or you're out on the community terrace, whether you're here on the floor, or you're up in the balcony with every eye closed, if today is the day that you want to choose to follow Jesus for the first time, if today is the day that you want to put your faith in him, that you want to receive his love and forgiveness and the second chance that only he can give you, this is your moment right now. I want to invite you to raise your hand in the air as a way of declaring, "I choose Jesus." I see your hands going up. For those of you that are raising your hands, would you raise them if you're choosing to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time? I see those decisions being made for Christ. Is the best decision, most important decision of your life. If you want to follow Jesus for the first time, would you raise your hand high and would you silently pray this prayer after me? Jesus, I confess that my sin is a problem I can't fix. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive me. I trust that you rose from the dead, proving you are God. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Today, and every day, I choose to follow you. Well, you can put your hands down. If you made that decision to receive Jesus Christ for the first time, you made the best decision of your life. And right now, I want to invite everyone to stand up with us. And as you're standing, we want to celebrate what God did in this room. We want to celebrate the second chances that we're given in this room. And so I want to invite you to get out your phone. And as you get out your phone right now, as the lights begin to dim, if you made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, I want to invite you to turn your light on and to hold it up as a way of testifying. We see those lights. Amen. Amen. Would you hold those lights up? You made the best decision of your life. Hold those lights up. And now I know there's a lot of us who we don't just need a second chance, we need a third chance, a fourth chance, a hundredth chance. If right now you want to recommit your life to Christ, you want to say, "Lord, I need you again. I haven't been walking with you for a little bit, but I need you again, and I'm coming home." Would you turn your light on, and would you join all those that made a decision for the first time as a way of saying, "Jesus, I'm coming home, and I choose you again. I follow you." Now, as we sing this last song together, here's what I want to do. If you made a decision to follow Jesus for the first time, we've got an amazing team up here who has a gift for you and would love to pray for you and give you some encouragement. Or if you're deciding to get baptized, you just made that decision right now to get baptized, I want to invite you to come forward. And so if you received Christ for the first time, wherever you're sitting, out on the balcony, community terrace, or here on the floor, I want to invite you to come forward. so that we can pray for you. Or if you want to get baptized, I want to invite you to come forward so our team can help you take that next step. Or if there's anything we could be praying about for you, I want to invite you to come forward so we can pray with you and support you in this decision that you made. And so right now, I want to invite you to come forward as we sing this song. Can we praise God for all that he's doing in this place? The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive, and a second chance is possible. Go ahead and come forward and let's worship Jesus together.